stars, big dreams, breaking all the seams. Las Vegas stage.
Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, to say that the past week and a half, 2 weeks, little this, little that, not much going on. I wouldn't say there's any big news coming out of the FSW world, would you?
Nah, I'll tell you, it's still 2025, and we're in position to have the biggest year in 2026 ever, just from the couple of things that are happening for us. So it's, you know, pretty tremendous. You know, we're going to be the first local company to, I guess you could say, hopefully it's a residency. You know, we're starting with one, but the HyperX Arena contacted us. Things were put in motion. And on January 24th, New Year's resolution is happening inside the Luxor Casino on the ground floor. We're on the casino floor next to the steakhouse and the cashier.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the better spaces, that you could hope for in terms of the product looking great as well. I think that it's going to look fantastic.
Oh, that arena is basically, see, working out the deal and everything that's happening, the food, the drink, it reminds me of Diversion Amusement if it was on steroids, because sure, this is a full-blown, this is really the Orleans, a mini Orleans arena, the one at the Rio that we loved for a long time. And, you know, the pictures don't do it justice from when you're there. Because if you see where those seats are, that's where the ring is going to go, right? Yeah. In that area. And the stage where you see sticking up, the ring's going to go up against the stage in the middle. So the entranceway, there's a tunnel that they already have the production is just going to be phenomenal. Once I'm done with you here today, I'm bringing Mikey down there. That way he can see the layout of what we're looking to do. You got the second floor balcony, and the balcony is going to overlook. There's going to be some great tabletop seating. There's suites that are next to it. We're going to have three that we're offering. One we're trying to get a title sponsor for, which is going to include a $250 food package. If you want to be the title sponsor of, you know, your company presents, you know, the FSW takeover, you know, NXT's called takeover when they have theirs, but this is a true takeover of the strip. This is like the bucket list. This is everybody's dream. Like, right, holy shit, we got a show on the fucking strip. And it's like, you know, the Luxor is in a perfect situation to where, you know, you got great casinos, obviously, on the strip. But how difficult if you're in that Flamingo area or you're in that Spring Mountain area, the traffic is the worst. Here you're on the strip. You're, you know, Mandalay Bay is a mile away. You got everything to the west a mile away. You got free parking for locals up to 3 hours. As they said, you pull out and you pull back in if you want to hang out more before or after the show. Because inside the arena, when you walk in, first off, you have all the gaming that's going to be there still. And you can play your video games and do things like that. We're talking about the after party. We're talking about comedy. We're talking about, hey, maybe Chris Bay wants to perform. There's so many options because Kyle, the guy who hit me up, how it started was I got an email about a guy who wanted to come to the Killer Cross one night only.
Right.
And he messaged me at about 5:45 on that Monday to see if there were still tickets or seats available. And I'm running around all day. Obviously, we had the seminar with Kevin first. And at about 7:15, I saw the message. So I'm like, oh, yeah, we have tickets, you know, come on by. Never saw the guy. All of a sudden, 2 days later, I get a phone call from somebody. And then he said, oh, yeah, I messaged you about the thing. And, you know, you ever think about doing something at the HyperX Arena? And it's like, absolutely, because Mohawk Mike and the guy Andy we know who does like the Golden Tee and produces like all this gaming stuff that I met through Joey. And these guys have done big business over there. And they came in, they gave us a fantastic deal. It's based off a food and drink guarantee. So please buy some food and drink. Obviously, it's strip prices. But hey, right. You can get a dozen wings for $25 with fries. You can get fingers for $14. So it isn't like crazy priced. It isn't like, oh my God, it's $40. It's like, you know, what you're expecting to pay. You know, we're keeping ticket prices a little bit less than the Silverton. It's limited seats. There's about 300 to 350. Right now we're going with 300. There's about 175 on the floor. We're going to do about 70 front rows. We got tabletops. People are getting 4 for $100, and you're going to overlook the thing. It's fantastic. And it's like, the idea is, you know, 4 to 6 shows, but man, if we could do this every month and keep the prices, you know, basically $10 more for a front row or $5 more than the FSW Arena. Are you kidding
right.
me?
Right.
You know, and the roster is going to be a casino show, Silverton pay-per-view roster. You know, we already got Kenny King on this show. You know, we got Sharp on the show. We got Jay Vidal. We got Bateman. You know, we already have ideas of where we're going. You're talking about an intergender first round match we got planned. We got so much ready to roll that let's not forget No Escape is February 15th at the Silverton. So right. Now the lean in, man, this is, you know, Saturday night main events meets, you know, a major gig. And, you know, we are hugely excited about it. And then it's like, I got some huge news yesterday. Romo, one of our new refs, who's absolutely tremendous, him and Cody, you know, they're 1 and 1A, as I like to say. I think Romo has become my new number one ref because his manager, which I always joked, like, the fuck's a ref need a manager for, you know? And Daniel is the manager of Rey and Dominic Mysterio. And that's how I guess now I knew why Romo was friends with Dominic Mysterio. They had the same manager. Romo refs at TNA. And he messaged me a couple weeks back. He said, hey, my manager's going to hit me up. And I'm like, your manager, that's hilarious. But he's going to hit you up because we're looking at doing something in San Diego. And thankfully, he does have a manager because the San Diego Seals lacrosse team does a wrestling night every year. And nice. They were inquiring with Daniel about Rey Mysterio hosting the wrestling event. So in nice. Talking, hosting the wrestling event, they said, hey, is there anybody you'd like to work with? Well, Romo has put over FSW. He's like, hey, this is a really good company. I've been working with when I moved to Vegas, check out their stuff, you know, love the production, saw the talent that we had. So he decided to give me a call and wanted to work with us. So he nice. Said, could put together some packages. And they went for a very good budgeted show that after the lacrosse game, which is going to be late, it's March 21st. The lacrosse game starts at 7 o'clock. So if it ends at 9, we now have to hurry up and set the ring up in the arena, hopefully within an hour, and start at 10 o'clock. And we're going to do a 20-man rumble match. And part of the equation is we need to bring in a former WWE superstar, a legend, something like that. So I've already reached out to Kevin. You know, I got people
no,
on.
Wait, no disco?
That's possible. You know, we said we get a couple of other name guys, but they want a headliner. And, you know, I'm reaching out to Morrison and The Godfather and D-Lo and a bunch of people. And we're going to have a 20-man Rumble that's going to feature, at least 10 of FSW's finest, maybe a little more, and probably about, 5 to 7 name guys, which includes like somebody like Hammerstone. You know, I've already reached out to him. You know, this guy's had the TNA and the MLW and a Limelight and the cream of the crop is going to be in this Rumble, and we're extremely excited about it. And this could be the first thing of, the dream. Wouldn't say it was the goal, but the dream when we started doing stuff FSW Arizona back in the day, or working at the IWF and bringing in the Stricklands and the Young Bucks and the biggest names and the Ricochets and Swans before anybody really knew who they were. Right. You know, doing something there in San Diego now can get our feet wet. As the Daniel guy says, there's a lot of opportunities. And I said, being that now you have a ref as a client, if you want to have a wrestling owner as a client, I pay good commission. And if you have anything anywhere in the United States, Joe DeFalco will bring the FSW crew anywhere we got to go. Yeah. So, I wish I was 10 years younger now. It's like, man, it's just crazy that all the years of hard work and making friends and getting relationships that, and again, thank you, WWE, for running Mania out here, which has given, the MGM, credence to they had to get the okay from them, and even the guy who runs the HyperX Arena said that, hey, I'm surprised we got an answer that quick, because usually they're not, the fastest when it comes to making decisions, as we've learned by a different strip property that we're working with, which is also run by MGM Properties. So right. I'm looking at that as like, hey, if we can build a good relationship at the Luxor, that might open up that other opportunity, which is as big or even bigger than that opportunity.
Right.
So it's like, man, we're killing it. Things are going way better than I could have ever dreamed. So this has been a huge, 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 week for us. So, man, I'd have to put 10 more years into this. I didn't know. I was wondering how that was going to happen.
Yeah. It's now something that's becoming a reality. And again, it's going to be on January 24th at 7 PM at the HyperX Arena in the Luxor. just crazy to think that's where it's headed.
That's where Mania Week may head. We may move from the FSW Arena. I'm trying to keep it a similar price for everybody who's already locked in.
Right.
As much as I love the FSW Arena, imagine doing Collective is going to be down the street. Right. But we have our events that levels up our events to be 5 minutes from Allegiant. Mandalay Bay has a lot of stuff going on for WWE, and now you're right there, and as much, people can Uber to the arena, but and for the locals, it's great. But now for the locals and the tourists, that spot is fantastic.
Right.
Like I said, it's easy to get to, and there's so much going to be going on that weekend, and now everything is in like a 1 mile radius, and now we're going to be right in the middle of it. So,
Right. And, you know, it also helps that now there's food options, drink options right there, you know.
Right. 1,000%, you know. And it's like, you know, you want to squeeze a couple hundred people in at the arena, it's jam packed. There's no food, you know. And it's like, you know, this is something that it sells itself. You know, and then maybe the opportunity for sponsors becomes even bigger because, you know, we hadn't done flyers in a long time, really haven't had the need to. But now it's like, wow, we can put them on right at the Luxor. We can put it on the strip. They're going to run it, you know, on their marquee and on their, you know, when they're doing, they're open 7 days a week for their gaming stuff. And, you know, like T-Pain has his global gaming league. They did a couple months ago, and they're doing it again in February. So it's like there's so many thoughts in the head. Hey, Carrot Top's right there. He's a big wrestling fan. Maybe we can get him to the show. You know, Gabriel Iglesias. We're going to invite him to the fucking FSW arena. Hey, you're at the Luxor. Why don't you come down? You know, as a big wrestling fan. He's, you know, and you know. Sky's the limit. Hey, Morgan and Morgan, we know you know, you spent a lot of money to be on Netflix. How about throwing a few pennies our way?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's exciting to think of the possibilities. You know, the going forward, it's just a lot of, you know, a lot of opportunity and, everything is going to be full force because we're already halfway through December. You know, it's like that's 4 months. 4 months until Mania. So,
you know, we got January, we got March, we got April, you know, we got February's No Escape. It's like, you know, we're going to San Diego. It's like, what else is going on?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that is going on is Season's Beatings on the 20th, this Saturday at 7 p.m. Again, Title Match Network, if you can't make it out. And right now, what's the situation with the donations? Because it's absolutely one of the high points of the year in terms of giving back to the community.
Well, yeah, right now, you know, for people who are coming in, general admission's $20. Bring two toys. Get $10 off. You can get in for one of the biggest shows, one of our bigger school shows, because every single champion will be on hand. You know, we have the women's match has just been signed to Triple Threat. Fallon Gray, Zamaya, and Brittany Brooks. Nice. You know, excellent match. We got Jordan Oasis defending against the former tag champ who just returned, AJ Avon. We got the Nevada State champion, Song Lu, taking on who I think is one of the breakout stars. They came out of nowhere, quickly became tag champs, defeated some of the best teams. But before that, Bryce Saturn at Future Shock, you want to go back and watch one of the best matches this year on Future Shock, Bryce Saturn and Ice Williams. So yeah. Bryce Saturn is a future singles champion in FSW. Yeah. You know, he's a guy who threw all his chips in, said, I want to be FSW. I will make myself available and ready to go whatever you need. And, you know, that's also going to be another thing moving forward. Exclusivity is important, you know. Sure. Spots are going to be limited, obviously, at the Luxor, you know, the HyperX Arena. Man, you want to have some great fucking footage to send people, you know. Man, you know, I know it. You know, we're not a national company in any way, but man, our talent is. Our production is, the venue is, you know, now instead of the Silverton and the FSW arena, it's like our two fantastic refs. we have two fantastic venues, and it's 1A. And, you know, when all this is out there, it makes people, hey, it's like people I don't even know hitting me up. Like, yeah, there's no spot for you. I don't even know who the fuck you are. No offense. You know, now Richard Holiday hits me up. Well, then, you know, I know who he is. And, right. You know, we're talking with him already. But it's like, man, these are the shows that sky's the limit of, you know, hey, you know, I was joking with Ice in the office yesterday. And it would be like, you know, how cool would be a tag match with Tito and Che versus Hammerstone and Graves versus Royce and Jarrell. You want to talk about old school and the guys who've made it. And because of the deal that we have, our budget doesn't have to be, okay, well, we got to pay X amount of dollars for the venue.
Right, right.
That, you know, X amount of dollars kind of, you know, the venue costs as much as at the Silverton, costs as much as the talent to right. run that place. And we got word at the last meeting, because I had to pick up my check, that the rates were going to be raised. And it's like, what the fuck? So it's like, now that extra charge is the equivalent, you know, of three Hammerstones.
Right.
Four Hammerstones. Sorry. I'm underguessing. It's four Hammerstones. And it's like, well, now you have to get to numbers that are big, you know, and we did those numbers even with what we had to pay Kevin. But yeah. to rent the arena is now costing more money than paying Killer Cross to wrestle at my show.
Right.
And now we have a venue that, man, with the numbers at 3,350, we don't need to put 700 people in there. Now that seat is very valuable. Because yeah. there's only 70 front row compared to 106 at the Silverton.
Yeah.
And yeah. now it's got that old school, kind of like when I was always excited when we did Natural Born Killers and we had 270 people in there, but it felt like we had 870 people because it was so compacted and we took out the guardrails and everybody was on top of everything. And it right. was like, man, this place is fucking packed. But it's like, well, it's half of what we would have at the Silverton on a decent card, you know, on a decent filling of, you know, 500 at the Silverton looks good, but it isn't a packed house. And when you could pack a house with 300, man, it looks so good for people who are watching it at home. You know, I always used to cringe every once in a while when we'd have a lighter show at the Silver Nugget. And I remember one time Spider was putting together the entrance video for High Octane. And not really the entrance videos for somebody, but an entrance video for the company. And it's like, you know, the 45-second opener. And it's like, dude, you know, I'm seeing people get thrown into chairs and you could see the empty seats there. And I'm like, right. that's a horrible look. It's like, why am I watching at home when people don't even want to go to the show? Because that becomes the perception of what they see. And if they see, wow, this place is jam-packed, that's a hot ticket.
Yeah.
That I want to be a part of, man. I want to see this, you know. And again, FSW already has the name. And now it's like, you know what? It's time to Joe's got to get that Rolodex that he's loaded with the guys who before they were stars, you know, Joe was booking them. Hey, do us a favor. We can give you a good price, you know, but you need to do us a little bit of a break. And now all of a sudden it's like you're going to see some names you hadn't seen in a while. And it's like, oh, yeah. And I remember when he first started in FSW. You know, hey, when's Jacob Austin Young going to be home? When is he not going to be in Japan? And it's like, man, you can go back and you can get these guys on there. Like, you know, we saw Graves at Luck of the Draw. How great it would be to have a Gods of War reunion.
Sure.
You know, how crazy would it be to see the Gods of War against the Suavecitos?
Well, I think you would just want to see that. So the Suavecitos.
Well, you know, who's to say I'm biased or anything like that? But, you know, the thing is, it's like, you know, I guess at Luck of the Draw, our production guy sat down with Cross. I haven't seen that, but they sat down with Limelight. And he made some very poignant remarks regarding positioning and earning spots. And, you know, just because you've been here doesn't give you a championship run because you put in time, the participation trophy. You may get on shows. There's roles to play. Not everybody's a main event guy. You know, there's guys that we have that are extremely valuable, but they're never going to be the champ. But they're still extremely valuable in what they do and provide. And I have nothing but great things to say about the guy, but that doesn't mean he's going to be the heavyweight champion. Or there's people that see the outside guy who don't train with us. And it's like, we're a wrestling promotion. The school has always tried to be run separately. Future Shock is where you guys get your opportunity. Now, Future Shock is where you guys earn the right to become wrestlers on the main roster.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like the triple threat match we're going to have with Demir and Jaden Cole and Fox Valentine. Those are guys who earn spots by going on Future Shock and over exceeding where we thought they might have been and earn positions. And Jaden Cole, you know, as a rookie, has really solidified himself as not really a Future Shock guy anymore. He's a guy who's just on shows when there's a spot and I want somebody good. And again, does he make every Future Shock? Of course. But he also gets on the high octane type shows, the Day of Reckoning, Moment of Truth, Seasons Beatings, Countdown to Midnight, whatever we're going to do, because he's earned that right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's...
You know, when you want to go on Future Shock and you want to leave right after the thing because, God forbid, you spend 10 minutes grabbing some fucking chairs.
Right.
That's when you need to look in the mirror and wonder why you didn't get that spot. Because you may be almost as good or just as good as a different person, but that person also puts in the work. They put in the extra. That's when that extra 110%, you might give 90 to 100%, but that guy who gives 120%, you better be way better then, because if you guys are in any equal level, it's no different than a guy who's okay trying to get that first spot. Who's getting the first spot? Well, the guy who puts in the time. I don't see you training. I don't see you at Kenny King's class doing the 6 out of 16 guys show up for the critique. And again, we understand you have to work. You got to make a living. Okay. Well, okay. Out of the 10 of you, I respect the 4 of you who might've contacted Kenny, because it ain't Kenny's job to say, oh, hey bro, I know you didn't come to my class and you never hit me up, but let me give you the critique. No, you have to fucking contact that person and say, hey, I had to work, couldn't make it, but I know you went over the show. You know, I'd love to hear your input. You know, Chris Bay's at the show. Ice Williams is at that show. They took time out of their lives to come out of their own dime, because they ain't there, you know, Kenny's there to look at stuff. You know, when Chris and Ice and Remy and Cody come to the show, it ain't because they're being paid, and if they are, they're getting paid a little stipend that's gas money to help the youngsters, and you guys just look right past them because you think you know everything.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, there's really not much to tell. You know what I'm saying? You can't be assuming stuff, especially now, right? You know, you have to put in it. It's funny, putting in your dues now is a different term than it was 20, 25 years ago, right? Putting in your dues now means that you're willing to participate and help in other ways, you know, instead of, you know, what it used to be. And I think that that's huge, especially because you don't get these. That's the other thing. People don't understand. You don't get these opportunities at other places. You're spoiled.
Right. You know, you think you get on a future shock and you don't need to assist in any way. And it's like, you know, they have it easy because generally anytime you do a show, there's ring crew. Well, yeah. 75% of our shows are at the arena that have the ring already set up, and it doesn't have to be taken down to go to the Silverton to then be set up to be taken back down, to be brought back to the school to set up on Monday. When we've had those situations, it's funny how few people show up on Monday. So this Monday we did the TV class, and it was amazing that there were so many people because they got to have matches, they got to have live critiques right there. It was amazing how many more people were available this Monday than the Monday that we needed them to set up the ring, or the day we needed them to be there for the Kenny King critique of the Future Shock show.
Yeah.
Because they saw it as it was something that they could do, that they were strictly 100% benefiting from.
Right.
And not looking at, well, if I do this, it helps put me in a better light with the trainers, because again, the biggest misconception is Joe don't put me on the show. No, right. It's Kenny, Remy, Cody, Chris Bay. They're the ones not putting you on the show, because if they don't tell me that you're not ready, for example, one of the younger kids, hear good things about Hops. And, you know, he had some issues and they had to leave for a while, money issues, different things, getting a job. And Remy had put him over and we were working some ideas for Future Shock. And then he kind of had to disappear because he just wasn't able to pay, wasn't able to train, whatever it was. Now he comes back, does the TV class, and he has a triple threat match. And I'm sitting in the office with Kenny, and I'm like, wow, he's pretty, you know, and I heard the good things from Remy. But again, right. In training, there's a lot of guys who do good things. Hey, do this move, do that, do this drill, and they do it well. But when it comes to doing an actual match, well, then they get lost. They forget. They don't remember, blah, 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 blah,
right.
Blah.
There's of course.
So right. He's in this triple threat, and I'm like, oh, Hops might be ready for Future Shock. And then, you know, Kenny's watching. He's like, yeah, I think Hops is ready for Future Shock. Well, Future Shock's January 9th. Do you think I'm not going to try to find a spot for Hops on January 9th? Now, there might have been.
Right.
If Hops doesn't show up to TV class and me and Kenny don't see this particular thing, guess what? Hops ain't got a match at Future Shock.
Right.
Now, there might be two other guys that we would have looked at and said, hey, I think they're ready. But they were nowhere to be found. So out of mind, out of sight, we're not thinking about them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing. You know, out of sight, out of mind is huge, especially, you know, when you're looking at where you potentially can wrestle now on the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah. You know, and if you don't think that's a big deal, if you live in Vegas, holy shit. And, you know, an independent wrestling company, a local company is wrestling. You know, sure, the collective is going to be at the Horseshoe, but most locals aren't going to be there. It's a WrestleMania thing. Somebody right. had enough faith in us, the local company, to put a show on that they feel we have the longevity to do this.
Right.
Not when there's 50,000 wrestling or 100,000 wrestling fans in town.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have big shoes to fill on January 24th. And you know who I'm going to put on the show? The people that I trust the most.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you have to. You just kind of wish that people understood it, but, you know, just comes well, down you, to.
And again, you can go around in life and bitch and complain, and Joe doesn't pay attention. Oh, he's out of the loop. It's like, yeah, okay. You believe everything you want to believe instead of taking responsibility for your own actions. That's the one thing I've noticed through the 16 years that it may not have been great 12 years ago when it came to that, but it's worse now. There's definitely more excuses today than there was 8 years ago.
Sure.
From the people walking through the door.
Sure. And that also goes to show that, you know, there is a lack of understanding how a business is run as well. You know, the difference between, and, you know, I get it. I understand that a lot of younger kids don't understand the aspects of what goes into a business versus booking a wrestling show, and the line, you know, is blurred between the fact that you do both, you know, you're in charge of the book as well as making the shows happen. And I think that's, you know, when you're producing and directing, it's a totally different thing than, you know, just being able to go to a booker and say why you should be on this show versus, you know, hey, I've got a business to run. I'm the one who has to put these deals together and make sure that it's reflective of the people that we need to bring in to make sure that this continues. If not, what's the point? You know, set up a ring in the backyard and, you know, if anyone shows up, they show up.
Well, you know, and some people have in town where they just set it up there, and then and that's where they consider their training from. Yeah. Some, you know, somebody's yard.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Santana Jackson has a ring. Okay, we'll roll around there because we don't have to pay.
Right.
You know, right. I got a message from, it's hilarious. I got a message from the guy. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast, but he trained with us for a little while. And now he's opening up his own little 8-week course. And he messages me. I saw your thing about sponsorship. Hey, Joe, you know, I trained. I'm like, I know exactly who you are. You know, it's amazing how people that you meet, like, I guess maybe a lot of people are that way. But, you know, I know exactly who most of these people are that approach me that act like I have no idea who they are. Right. And it was like, oh, yeah, you know, interested in, you know, maybe sponsoring, you know, if you could, you know, have a conversation. And I'm like, no offense, bro, but in what world would I want to have you as my sponsor to tell people to train with you for 8 weeks where your 8 weeks is costing you somebody more than training with me for 8 weeks?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, I love sponsorships and all that other stuff, but bro, you know, there is no way in the world that I could do this.
Right. And, you know, and if it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't straight up competition, you know, that's the thing. It's like, well, it's weird when you have a wrestling school for someone to want to sponsor to then draw people into wrestling camp. It makes no sense. But you know, that's the other thing too. It's like, I think right now you're seeing so many people also taking that opportunity, trying to get in on it while it's hot, because we all know that at some point that kind of, this huge wave just washes out at some point. And, you know, all those people who see this as being able as an opportunity to make a dollar quickly, you know, that's what they're in it for. So it's an interesting time, because there hasn't been a peak like this in 25 years. It's crazy. So Seasons Beatings also will have the Suavecitos. And man, they're going to be putting up those tag titles against a pretty young and exciting tag team out of SoCal, man.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, the Suavecitos were going to be wrestling Sky High. And then Robbie got hurt at Future Shock. And yeah, then we were scrambling, and it was like, you know what? Let's see what these guys can do. You know, they're very highly regarded. You know, they worked One Future Shock. I met them at the Gabe Sapolsky seminar. I liked their energy. Fantastic. It was like a tribute to the Ultimate Warrior. It's almost like the Blade Runners revisited, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. And, I also, just want to know why the Suavecitos look like they're 42 years old each in this photo.
Hey, you know.
Hard living, man.
You know, right? On, you know, the streets. That's what the streets does to you.
Speaking of what the streets do to you, man, Bodie's looking a little jack nowadays, right? He's grown into this. And
It was funny. I was in the office yesterday. I was talking with Ice. You know, we're talking about the stuff, you know, coming up, and we're talking about Bodie. And I just happened to be looking across. He was in the ring on Monday because he was doing a promo. And it was like, holy shit, that kid's legs, he's got the hairiest fucking legs I've ever seen. And, you know, Ice is laughing. And I'm like, seriously, check out his legs. And they kind of all laughed about it, you know, the way it was said, check out his legs and shit, you know. But it was just funny. But it's like, because in my mind, I still think of 10-year-old Bodie, you know, yeah, what I mean? And it's just like seeing him grow and seeing him like muscly now and seeing him. It's just like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's, you know, going up against someone who, again, you talk about Bryce Saturn and, you know, him being someone who's got his presence in FSW now. Luke Curtis, you just, every time you see him, you understand the polishing that he's got as a performer, man. He just knows when to choose those right moments. And I think this match could be one of those matches where you go, man, talk about two guys who stepped it up with each other. Because I think there's a lot that Bodie can do with a guy like Luke. And it's a great little matchup.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one of the biggest pops of Luck of the Draw was Luke getting tossed by Bodie.
Yeah.
I was stunned, and it's like, yeah, I know Bodie's over, and I know people don't like Luke very much, but it kind of shocked me a little bit. You know, it was like, wow, are they that excited to see Luke Curtis get tossed? Like, has he gotten to a point to where, man, he's already positioned himself as an upper level wrestler? Like, I see it. He's awesome. And unfortunately, his wife Layla, who we had big plans for, we had to pull them out of the intergender match. She got hurt at AEW wrestling Mercedes Moné the night before. Yeah. She was literally going to come back from wrestling Mercedes Moné for the TBS title to be in the mixed tag match, and she messed up her knee. And needless to say, within a week, she came in first place in a bodybuilding competition in Atlantic City with a torn up knee.
Yeah. It's amazing, man. Amazing. It's, but and again, it's great to have those type of influences around too, right? Because if you start hearing word of that, man, wouldn't you be pushing yourself a little bit harder? Like, hey, if she could win a bodybuilding competition, maybe I need to get myself into better shape, because, you know, that's top line, man. That's amazing.
You know, yeah. And the thing in an FSW is opportunity is going to be given out. Now, what you do with that opportunity dictates where your trajectory goes.
Yeah.
Luke Curtis, we saw something in him, gave him something. He exceeded expectations, got something else, exceeded expectations. Yeah. So now he is considered, because again, there's heels, there's faces, there's people you like, there's people you don't like, you know. But if you look, there's a lot of that in-between thing that maybe we have them booked as heels, and in some cases they don't garner that heat because there's who's trying to be a cool heel, who's trying to be a little bit of a tweener. Like, if you look at the main guys, like if you saw at Luck of the Draw, for example, you know, you saw the heat the Suavecitos got and the love that the Mariachis got in that match.
Yeah.
Okay. You saw the love that Bodhi got, and you saw the hatred for Luke Curtis in that match. You saw the love for Killer Cross, and you saw the hatred for Danny Limelight.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's just not easily like, oh, okay, well, he's a heel. All right, now everybody's just going to boo him and hate him and whatever. You have to do your job to get people to react the way you want them to react.
Right.
And, you know, Luke, what he did got Bodhi more over.
Yeah.
Even though Bodhi's extremely over, you know, right. We did the thing with Graves and Colin Muldoon, young kid, you know, I thought, because we'll be honest, he's a bratty motherfucker. You know what I mean? It's like, he's that kid in high school that I guarantee is making fun of people. He thinks he's one of the cool kids, you know, and I came up with the idea, like, you know what? He doesn't know who Graves is. He's a guy that he sees Graves walk in, and he's going to puff himself out because he prides himself. I'm the big amateur wrestler. Who's this motherfucker? And it worked.
Yeah.
And I heard yesterday, it was funny because we were talking about stuff in the office, and he was talking about how backstage he didn't know who Graves was. And basically Graves like, yeah, you better not fuck up, kid. Better not fuck up. You know? And, you know, and Colin has no idea who Graves is, you know? And, you know, and Graves knows, like, somebody like I sees it, he's laughing inside. You know what I mean? And me hearing it's popping me, you know what I mean? But this kid's probably on edge, like, oh shit, I better do good. And I don't,
right.
It's like, hey, you know, if you don't know, you know, there's probably somebody else who's been around a little bit say, hey, you should check out last time he was in the Rumble with somebody who didn't listen.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but that's what's having those people being around, you know, guys like Young Money, guys like Koa, those guys have gotten their lessons from Hammerstone and Graves and Gallo and Dom. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's like kids from FSW getting their lessons from Remy and Cody and Sharp and now Ice and Chris Bay and Cross. You know what I mean? It's like when you go to other schools, there might be one guy like that. We got 10. We got 10 to keep you in line. And you know what? I've heard Chris say it. You know, where he's going to give you, help and acknowledgement. And if you're not going to pay attention to it, well, I'm not going to waste my time on you.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. It's no different than hearing it about guys in WWE or when you hear The Undertaker talking about some of the younger talent who, you know, in one ear, out the other.
Yeah.
You know, and they all think they should be in the main event. There's a lot of hard work other than being a good wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
That it takes. Yeah. Yep. And when you can get somebody to mentor you in that position, like Demir has the faction, and it really changed the way he understood the business because he was young, dumb, knew everything. And even Bret the Threat, who grew – the Suavecitos who grew. So you hope a young kid like a Colin, you know, gets the guidance to where he doesn't blow his opportunity by just being dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. And a big one at Season's Beatings, Shogun, his first singles match, you know, decent matchup for Shogun returning to the ring. Damon Ace, pretty
definitely a real good talent. He worked for us I believe once before, again using the ice a lot, but he was talking about there was a triple threat match. I guess he worked I guess he was in town when Sin was doing his winter show in Pahrump. So he was in the day before. So he was in town. So we used him. And I was like, I didn't remember, but he worked good talent. He ended up hanging out with us at the Mania party.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, he works a lot at PC. He works PCW now in Arizona. Yep. So he's friends with that crew, Class and Reno. So it's like, okay, you know. Good opportunity, big guy, you know, first singles match for Shogun. He, you know, he worked at Winter Circle last month and he had a segment with Evan Daniels setting up a match, but didn't actually have a match. So this is his first actual singles match in over a year since the car accident. So,
yeah.
So even if you don't want to bring toys, come to see Shogun.
Yeah. Absolutely. And again, Season's Beatings, December 20th at 7 p.m. at the FSW Arena.
I also got news that I didn't know because AJ came in the office and we were talking because I was talking about Bateman. They're like, oh, Bateman's there? NJ? I'm like, no, I don't. Jay Vidal's not there. They're like, oh, yeah, Jay said he was going to be there because he had something in California. And I'm like, I had to check my messages because it wasn't there. And now I remember and I hit him up. So Jay Vidal is going to be at Season's Beatings. And right now, got to figure out what Jay Vidal and Bateman going to be there. So that's going to be an interesting thing, that, as well as the champ going to be there. So, yeah. And the MK Army going to be there. So, nice. It's going to, this card may have a few more matches than I expected.
Yeah. Hey, that's nothing wrong with that, right? You know, you're talking about young guys and developing talent and eventually having, you know, guys who have gone on to do other things. Love this picture that you posted. 2012, Brian, man. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. No, actually, I think that was 2009. I think it was reposted in 2012. Wow. I think that's when he first came in and we were like, oh, yeah, that's a big dude. And then all of a sudden, you know, 3 years later, 5 years later, it was like, man, that's a tiny dude compared to the other Brian Cage who's come in. Because yeah. It was funny because back in the day, I'd use Brian and then maybe not use him again for 6 months and didn't use him that often until he kind of 3 years later maybe had the run. And then It was like he didn't have the runs, but he had the run, you know. And it was like you'd be like, man, he's getting big. Well, he's getting big. And it would be like it would be a never-ending thing of, man, now he's a monster. And now you look at him and he looks like, oh, okay. He doesn't look anything compared to when you see him. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, we thought he was big then.
Yeah.
And now look at him. You know, like, Che Cabrera and Hammerstone are twice that size.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think you just nailed the three, you know, biggest transformations, Che and Hammerstone and Brian. It's amazing and wonderful to see. And hopefully, I know Brian, you know, is still feeling a little down because of the fact that it's been, you know, a while since he's been able to do what he loves to do.
I talked to him. He's feeling good. He's thinking it might be sooner than later. So hopefully. Good. You know, I'm reaching out to him about maybe being in the Rumble in San Diego.
Nice. Yeah. You know, and one of the other things, the one night only, the 8-man single elimination tournament to crown the tag team champions. Memories of that card.
Well, yeah, you know, we thought that was solid and we had good tag teams, but man, you'd look at that. Compared to what we're talking about in 2026,
yeah,
you know, the 1% would still be there, you know.
Half of your Midnight Marvels would be in a different tag team now.
Right, but you're talking, you know, Tito and Che, who were there as hate. But you know, you're adding in the Gods of War, you're adding in Transcendence, you're adding in the Suavecitos, you got the Mariachis, you know, you got Live Danger. Right now, in my mind, I was putting together a 12-team tournament with buys in the first round.
Yeah, you're starting to be able to get close to the NCAA tournaments.
The bracket of 32.
Yeah. Jeez. But it just goes to show too, once again, tag team wrestling is one of those art forms that when it swings up, boy, there are some really, really good.
It was crazy because when, you know, I sat in and listened to Gabe Sapolsky talk, and that was one thing he was talking about, that, you know, back in the day, you know, the Young Bucks were running the scene of indie wrestling and they were the team. But after them, there was a real lull of tag teams.
Yeah.
To where, you know, there wasn't, you know, for 1% got hot after the Scum. The Scum were about the last team. And then the 1% came in, and then, you know, when Daniels and Scorpio Sky, SoCal Uncensored, and I remember it was a big deal, the 1% beat them, and then all of a sudden they were getting the love. But now it's like, you know, you got Royce and Jarrell, you got Tito and Che, the Unguided are back, you know, you got Lucas Riley and Dominic Kubrick, the Crusty Crew. I don't use them that much. I haven't used them in a long time, but, you know, they're teams I'd want to use. And the Mariachis have gotten themselves, you would think they were a SoCal team. because man, they're all over, and the Suavecitos. And it's funny that for people who don't know, you know, the main West Coast tag teams like Che and Tito, who haven't really worked for us in a bit, I'm the one who put them together 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And Royce and Jarrell, I put together. So the teams that are hot and the Mariachis, obviously they're brothers, put them together in the thing. But the Suavecitos, I put them together. I was always the biggest fan of tag team wrestling, you know. And before the Unguided was together, you know, I put Matt and Damian Drake together, you know, for the Conan seminar, and that's how they ended up, you know, getting used in AAA. And they were friends, and this is what they wanted to do, but it was, hey, we're gonna pull the trigger on this. So, but tag team wrestling has really gotten an uptick. And now you said, you know, Live Danger, they're getting some, and the Pump Line guys that we used, and there's some solid teams that Sky High, Lights, Camera, Faction. You know, we got Young Money. You know, we've got a four-way, Pretty City with Class and Reno. So that's the four-way that's happening this week. You know, with the Mariachis, Young Money, Pretty City Express, and Lights, Camera, Faction. So on any given show, we could have 8 or 9 teams, because now on Future Shock and guys that work, you got the Po' Boys and a team from Arizona who, you know, never tagged before, but I put them together, you know, Flyboy, well, Freddie Cordova and Enrique Calderon, the Chingon Cartel. I like them a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, I thought they would mesh. You know, we have a former No Limits champion, hasn't been around in a bit, good friends with somebody that I'm putting them together. And I just saw they started working together elsewhere. But I think they're going to be a solid tag team. Well, JKM and Dante King. So, you know, I like tag teams because, again, you know, I'm trying to give opportunities.
Yeah.
And if you have 8 singles matches, you only have 16 people on a show. So if you have two tag teams, a four-way, now you're able to get 20 or 22 people on a show. Yeah. And we have 40. So I'm trying to at least get to 20 or 22. Sure. Well, what do? You got to have a tag match. Maybe you have a four-way. We have 8 matches at Season's Beatings, but we have one match has 8 guys because we have 4 tag teams.
Yeah.
A couple of triple threats. So there's 14 people in 3 matches.
Yeah.
If you did all singles, where would Bateman be? Where would Jay Vidal be? Where would Duke Lawrence be? Where would Bryce Saturn be? You know what I mean? It would be like you'd run out of spots extremely quick, and you have so many good people. You know, it's easy for a shitty company to book 7 matches and do one tag because they have to go out and find people.
Right.
We already have them here because we have the training school. So we have everybody right there.
Yeah.
And with Future Shock, there's 20 people that you're not going to see on a different show. So we don't have 40 people. We really have 60 people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then sprinkle in, you know, the odds and ends, you know, you're kind of up to 80 people.
You know, giving the hops an opportunity or putting Beans in because he works hard and trying to find a spot for him where he can excel and try to hide all the weaknesses because he's still very, very green. But let's see if he's capable of doing this little bit instead of a one-on-one match where he has to do a whole bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got like the Asylum. There's another tag team.
Right. You know, Dustin. Dustin's a kid that him and it's like, but you know, works hard, always around to help, you know, and he's really given a bump to them.
Yeah.
Like they were there hovering with Mastermind and it was all good, but the energy level has changed because Dustin's also the wrestler and he's the jester and, you know, and yeah. Marcus and Phil had to gel. So yeah. When they were initially doing things, they didn't really work with each other or know each other. So they were in that process of getting better. And then the addition came in and it kind of all fell into place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. All right. Season's Beatings again is coming up on Saturday, December 20th, this Saturday at 7 p.m. at the FSW Arena. You can also catch it on Title Match Network. And of course, the big New Year's resolution announced now for January 24th of 2026. 7 p.m. at the HyperX Arena at the Luxor. Final thoughts as we head out this week.
Yeah, it's like, you know, cross your fingers and you hope, like, hey, this is the upswing, you know. Let's not get any bad news, you know. Let's keep it rolling, you know. Yeah. You know, I know life's tough and then there's always things and it's like, man, but right now things are looking good, so you know, hopefully the good news just keeps pouring in.
Yeah. And, you know, it's exciting times and a good time to be a wrestling fan, especially here in Las Vegas. Yeah.
Merry Christmas to everybody. I assume we ain't going to be doing a podcast on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
No. We're probably looking at, unless we get one in early next week, but most likely it's probably after Christmas. So. Until then, everyone, thank you for tuning in. Have a happy holidays and keep your eyes peeled because I'm sure there's going to be more announcements coming up here.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, everyone. Until then, happy wrestling, everybody.